Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. No human being, regardless of his knowledge, wealth, position, or power, has any right to be haughty. Very few, if any, attitudes are more repulsive to God and to right-thinking people than haughtiness. That is one of the reasons the Bible so strongly condemns pride. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:5-18. Pride and genuine love for God and for one's fellow man cannot coexist in the same person. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not vaunt itself, is not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13:4. The church at Corinth had many problems. Some of their problems, although probably not all of them, stem from their pride. Do you know that the word translated puffed up appears 7 times in the entire New Testament? 6 of those times are in the book of 1 Corinthians. The Holy Spirit had graciously bestowed many supernatural gifts on the church at Corinth. Paul thanked God for the grace of God that had been given to the Corinthians. In everything, they were enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them, so that they came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:4-7. Instead of being grateful for the supernatural gifts, the Corinthian Christians were puffed up. Paul asked them, "Who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you received it, why do you glory as if you had not received it?" 1 Corinthians 4:7. If the Corinthians had earned the miraculous gifts, they might have had some basis for boasting. But they were no more responsible for those gifts than they were for the air they breathed. Being puffed up brought reproach on the name of Christ. In his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul admonished the members of the church to clothe themselves with certain attitudes and attributes that were essential to their service in the Lord's kingdom. One of these characteristics for Christians in every age is humility. Colossians 2:12. Jesus Christ has provided the supreme example of humility. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians 2:5-8. Our Lord tells us what he expects of us. "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18:3-4. James was aware of the wonderful grace his readers had received. He knew they might be tempted to take pride in their great blessings. So he warned his immediate readers and us. Wherefore he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." James 4:6. Several words in this verse are very significant. The word "resists" comes from a Greek word meaning to set oneself against. This is an old military term that pictures one army set against another. The tense of the verb "resist" suggests that God keeps on setting himself against the proud. The word "proud" means to show oneself above others. In many cases, the proud have serious doubts about needing God. But God keeps on giving grace to the humble. James also writes, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." James 1:9. The expression "of low degree" comes from the same Greek word translated "humble." Is it possible James was reflecting on what he had heard Jesus teach? "Whosoever therefore shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he who shall humble himself shall be exalted." Matthew 23:12. Thank you for listening today, and may God bless you.